47 minutes after 11 p.m. This is Black Knight Meditations on WSEA 106.1. That's Shredding the Envelope. Dave Reffitt is here in the studio, the mastermind behind Shredding the Envelope. Also, Jim Alvino, host of Saturday evening's Turn It Up show.
Hello.
Also here in the studio with me, we're talking all things metal. We've got Dave shredding on the guitar. We're talking about his career. And we've also got a little something extra to offer our listeners. Jim, I think you know who Don Jameson is, don't you?
I certainly do. I'm a huge, huge fan of Don's TV show. Of course, Don is one of the co-hosts of That Metal Show on VH1 Classic with Eddie Trunk and his buddy Jim Florentine.
And,
they're in the middle of, I believe, season 5. Is that correct, Don?
Yeah, season 5 is on now, and we're really psyched, man. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks
glad
a lot for
you
calling into WSEA. We certainly appreciate it. We know we've got your buddy Dave here, and we've got you on the line for a few minutes. So we want basically the most important thing we want to discuss with you on the line is we want dirt on Dave Reffitt. We want to know the dirt on Dave. You got to have some horror stories about him, man. Come on, share them. You're on the air. Let's talk.
I actually wanted to say really nice things about the Shredding the Envelope CD, but I could make up some dirt if you want.
No, Don, I do.
I think he slept with my sister once. I'm not
sure. Oh, wow.
I guess it's good that you're not in Portsmouth then, Don, because I think it could get pretty bloody here if you and Dave were to get together.
Yeah. No, Don, let's talk about that, though. I understand you are a big fan of the Shredding the Envelope record, Call the Flames. Do you got a favorite track on the record?
Well, I don't really have a favorite on it, but I'll tell you how I came to hear it for the first time was, because since I've been on this show, obviously I get bombarded by bands and musicians and stuff like that. And, I'm a stand-up comic, so I know how it feels to want to get somebody to check out your work,
Right.
I always tell people the same thing. I'm just coming, you want a real, critical opinion and breakdown of your stuff, talk to Eddie Trunk, because that guy, not only does he know metal and music, but he knows the industry and stuff, too. I just go on the road and tell filthy jokes, and I just happen to have had a mullet one time in my life, and I love metal. So
right.
My point of view is always just, I'm a fan, I'll tell you what I think of it, for better or for worse. I almost will always say something positive if somebody goes, out of their way to share music with me. But, Dave's stuff was just, one of those things where, I listen to everything that people send to me or direct me to their MySpace. And sometimes I just sit there and I write and I listen to music for hours. And Dave's stuff just really just jumped out at me. There's just some stuff, You listen, you go, oh, that's not bad. That's pretty good. And then you go, and then there's some stuff that makes you go, whoa, what the hell was that?
Right. That's how I felt when I heard it too.
And especially with the type of, when you're a shredder, a lot of guitar players are great shredders, but they're not, they're not great songwriters.
Right.
It's like musical masturbation. So you're getting a lot of great playing, but you're not getting songs.
Right. You're not getting the depth of it.
I think that's what Dave has been able to combine, both of those things. But now I got the full CD after hearing some of the songs, and I think it's great. I think the whole record's really good. It's really strong,
Okay, well, I will say this, Don. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. What does it take? And maybe you can explain this for those who are unaware of how the television show that you're on, That Metal Show, works. What does it take for a new, unknown, up-and-coming, whatever you want to call them, artist to get on a show like That Metal Show? Does it have to be just a legendary artist who's put out 20 records and who sold 10 million copies? Would somebody like Dave Reffitt be able to appear on a show like that after having put out one or two records? What's the criteria for getting on That Metal Show?
Well, I think what he'd have to do is let me sleep with his sister.
Oh, boy.
I think it's only fair if he slept with mine. No. We have different types of... Obviously, to be as a guest, you know, it's VH1 classic, so people...
What I was just going to say. Keep in mind, it's classic.
Or the network's looking to book classic guests. We have nothing to do with the booking process, so...
Right.
You know what I mean? We can... Obviously, we can suggest people. We can, you know, we can let them know, hey, so-and-so has a record coming out that would make a great guest, and... You know, then it's a matter of them being, you know, in New York or, you know, we just did a season in L.A., you know, at the time of taping. So, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of logistics. But, you know, we do other stuff like pick of the week and whatever happened to. And you know, we have our box of junk that, you know, we can throw CDs. And so there's other ways to sort of, you know, infuse other artists into the show. But, yeah, as far as being a... You know, as far as being a guest, you know, David he's got to put out a few more records.
Right.
Or he's got to join Dokken or kick those, George Lynch out.
Enough's enough for somebody like that.
So, Don,
right.
this is
if he joined, yeah, absolutely. He could join one of them, and, yeah, maybe we have him come on.
So, Don, this
but
is...
But, no, we have really nothing to do with the booking, which is actually good. But, you know, because like I say, if I do like something, it's great, but I can't even really do, I don't have any power really to do anything. Like
right.
I said, I'm just a knucklehead. I show up for my job and I talk about stuff, the same stuff I've been talking about since I'm, you know, 9 years old.
Right. But like you were saying, there are other ways, like with for instance, with the pick of the week, I know that, you know, you've talked about a band that you like from Canada, like say like Danko Jones, for instance, you know, so mm-hmm. you do get to slip in, you know, little references to what you think is cool and what you think is going on right now.
Yeah, because you know, at the end of the day, man, it's, you know, all these bands are all influenced by classic bands.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
Danko Jones, you know, if you listen to them, they sound like a cross between, you know, Cheap Trick, Thin Lizzy, and Kiss. I mean,
right.
And AC/DC. I mean, those, you can hear all those influences in there. So while they might not be, you know, square into our demographic, they're still a great band for our audience to check out because their influences are classically based. They even won't, you know, even we had Jamie Jasta from Hatebreed on the show. I mean, you know, that's a guy that's been influenced by classic bands, and his band Hatebreed has opened for Judas Priest and
right.
Sabbath and all these, you know, all these great bands. So it's, you know, classic bands. So, you know, he was definitely a great crossover artist for us to have.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, Hatebreed is a, you know, brutal, brutal band, but he also understands, you know, the classic stuff. Jamie was actually a good guest. I liked that episode.
Yeah, me too, man. He's such a good guy. He brought a giant box of swag, which is also, by the way, another good way to get a little shout out on the show. You know, you know, Florentine and I are like, I'm telling you, we are like two high maintenance chicks in our dressing room before the show. Like, what t-shirt are you going to wear?
I promise
so and so I'd get this one in.
Now
like,
it comes out.
I was going to wear that one next week. I'll go, all right, well, give me that Raven shirt. I'll wear that this week.
Nice.
And, you know, I know John and his wife, Melanie, watch the show. You know, so you're like,
cool.
You know, we're like, you know, it's like a fashion show backstage with freaking concert shirts, man.
Nice.
Now you got to wear Shredding the Envelope shirt.
Yeah,
the that's
go.
What you got to do.
Well, hey, I have to get one in the mail now, don't
yeah,
I?
Exactly. Hey, Don, Dave's got some questions for you.
Sure.
Don, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, and, man, thanks for reaching out to me. I do appreciate it, man.
Oh, no problem. First of all, thanks for, you know, that metal show, man. It's about time that, you know, metal had a great show on a major network again. And I was wondering, man, during the history of the show, like, you've had so many amazing guests on. Were there any favorites and any funny stories you could give us?
Well, my favorite guest. Well, he wasn't a sit-in guest on the show, but my favorite moment from any of the seasons is definitely has to be Kirk Weinstein from Down getting that metal show tattooed on his chest. I mean, there's no higher honor than in the world than that. I mean, he's got a giant monster tattooed on his chest with a mouth gaping wide open. And that metal show logo smack dab in the middle of the creature's mouth. I mean, that's hardcore, man.
that is hardcore.
I remember you saying, you know, what are you going to do, man, if they throw us off the air? You know, you're going to
have... Yeah, he goes, yeah, you all get canceled, I'm F for life.
So you've been out on tour with Dice Clay, I understand. That must be fun, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just think about who... who your musical idols are, and imagine, you know, you start going out on the road with them, and, you know, Dice is the reason I, and me and Florentine both got into comedy. I mean, we were, like, insane Dice fans, and,
oh, yeah.
You know,
I
Jim met him years ago and hit it off with him, and then Jim started opening for him, and then when there were some shows he couldn't do, he recommended me, and then Dice saw me, and he liked what I was doing, and I've been with him, yeah, about 5 years, and, you know, you could say what you want about Dice, but, man, he is still one of the funniest comics out there. He's
for
funnier
sure.
than he's ever been, even
absolutely.
From the heyday.
I
working for him.
I absolutely agree, because I've been a fan of Dice since 1989 when I first heard him. I still listen to, I was listening to him today, in fact. I mean, not a week goes by where I'm not listening to his old records, and I've even got some bootlegs. I recorded his show when he was here in Hampton Beach a couple of years ago. Love Dice Clay. The man is, to me, he's comedy legend. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And do you have any, I will put you on the spot here. Did Dice treat you well on the road? I mean, is he a stand up guy training his opening acts?
He's the most loyal guy, other than my two best pals, Ed and Jim. He's the most loyal guy in the entire business that I've ever worked with.
Nice.
Is Dice a metalhead?
He likes metal, but
Dice was on
that
metal
show. A lot of other stuff too. I mean, he's a drummer, so you know he's he likes a lot of different stuff. But he's he knows a lot of metal. He's into like new. He loves Shadowfall. He's into a lot of new bands too, man.
Cool. Yeah. Dice did a quick cameo on. I can't remember. I think it was like season two. But anyways, he jumped up and tried to do a Stump the Trunk, where he had a question for Eddie. It was very funny.
yeah. That's he was in New York doing some shows that actually Jim and I were opening for him, and yeah, it was. I actually set up his. His son's also a great drummer, and I set him up with a lesson with Jason Bittner from Shadows Fall.
Oh, right.
And we were out on tour on the East Coast, and we were playing up in Albany at a theater up there, and that's where Jason lives, up near Albany, and Jason's a huge Dice fan, and this is his first time meeting him, and he's giving his kid a drum lesson, and Dice is like, let's see how long I could just stay there without leaving, you know, just because Jason was such a big fan, and then the lesson was over, and then he's like, oh, let's go sit down, and then we literally stayed there for hours. He started yelling at Jason's wife, when's dinner? I mean, well, I'm sitting here for hours already. Well, let's get in the kitchen and make some meat or something,
right.
You know, and he's doing the whole Dice thing, and you can see Jason's laughing, but he's also sort of like, what do I do? I let the guy come in my house, I can't get rid of him now, you know?
When are you going to feed me? Oh!
Yeah. And then his wife brought out, like, peanuts. He's like, nuts, what are we, squirrels over here? Make some meat!
Right. Give me a burger! Oh!
It is, man.
So he's a classic ball buster.
Right.
And they loved it. I mean, Jason is, Jason definitely took it very well, and so did his wife. They're really good people.
Nice.
Yeah, man, I'd love to meet Dice. Just to say, hey, man, thanks for all the years and for sticking with it, and really, really funny guy. It is midnight. This is Black Knight Meditations on WSCALP Portsmouth 106.1 on your FM dial or streaming live online at WSCAFM.org. I'm Mark. I'm here with Jim, host of Turn It Up, the Saturday night hard rock metal show here on WSCA. Dave Reffitt of Shredding the Envelope is here in the studio with us, and we've got Don Jameson on the line. Hey, Don, now's a good time to talk about what you've got going on with your career and your life, stuff you want to promote. Let's hear about it.
Well, I'm happy after all these years of slinging dirty jokes over hot crowds to actually have a career. But one of the cool things I'm doing is, you know, because of my connection now with the metal world, is I'm actually going to go out on tour with this band Charred Walls of the Damned.
Oh, yeah, great band.
Yeah, Richard Christie from the Stern Show, obviously he was the drummer in Iced Earth and Death, and Tim Ripper Owens on vocals. And we're going to go out, and we're going to do like a two-week tour together, and I'm going to open the shows, and I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I might get bottles thrown at me every night. I have no idea, but, you know, I'm going to wear a catcher's mitt.
Are you going to be doing anything with Richard? I mean, is he planning on coming out on stage with you? Because obviously Richard is quite the funny man himself. Have you guys talked about doing anything together before Charred Walls goes on? Like doing a comedy bit together?
Yeah, no, we actually haven't. You know, Richard's an incredibly funny guy, and Tim is as well.
Yeah,
I think Tim could do stand-up too, but But, you know, when it comes to drums, Richard's real intense. So, you know, I imagine he's going to be backstage with his, you know, his ankle weights on and his pads and, you know, trying to get himself ready before the show.
Getting
but, yeah,
up
I would
to
love
the
if
metal.
He would come out and do something, man. That would be cool. I might need him to come out and drag me off stage some nights. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. But I have opened for some rock bands before. I opened for Twisted Sister, which, you know, they filmed for our show. And,
oh, right. That was a funny bit.
That was really fun.
Are you going to be doing the Charred Wall show where they're opening for Dream Theater in Worcester, Mass? Are you going to be opening for that one as well?
I am going to be doing that one, yes.
Awesome. Nice. Then we're going to have to hook up with you, myself and Jim here. We're going to be down there for
that show. We're
going to
be down there for the show.
We're going to be hanging with Richard and with Ripper, and we definitely want to talk to you. And maybe you can share some stories off air that you can't share on the air. That'd be awesome,
yeah,
man.
I'd be happy to, and it'd be great to meet you guys. That's going to be a phenomenal way to that's going to be the last night of the tour and a phenomenal way for it to end. You know, I got tremendous respect for those guys, Dream Theater, awesome. And I gotten to know Mike really well over the last couple of years. You know, he was a guest on our show, and
right.
You know, he was like, "It's a go, man. Let's do it." So cool. we're all going to do it, man. We're all going to bring it.
Right. I do have one more question I wanted to ask you, not to dwell on that metal show, but I did have, as a fan of the show, I did have one more question I wanted to ask you about that. I know that, you know, you and Jim and Eddie would like to do, you know, a longer show. I know you're kind of limited to a 30-minute, you know, per episode type deal. And I know that there has been some talk about, you know, you guys would like to do longer shows. Do you ever feel kind of bummed out, like, with the editing? Like, does something ever come up, like, missing that you really liked, like a particular joke or a bit, you know, that doesn't make it into the final cut of the show? Do you ever get bummed out about that?
All the time, yeah. But the cool thing that we did to remedy it, and it's not just me or Eddie or Jim, I mean, it's people at the network as well, you know, it's, you know, we wanted all to come up with a way to, you know, the good thing is the show at a half hour is a hit, so the network's not going to really look to mess with success, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right, if
any
and broke,
I understand
fix
their
it.
Point of view. Of course I'd love the show to be an hour, you know, I'd love it to be 2 hours, you know, I could sit and talk about metal forever, but you know, the thing that we did for this season, which, you know, again, we all came together on this, the network and us, which was, you know, we are extending the artist interviews longer, you know, in the time frame that we have. So,
right.
You know, you're almost getting what would be, you know, included in an hour show if we did all the other things. So things like, you know, whatever happened to in Pick of the Week, we're still doing those. We're just not doing as many of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we're letting the artist interviews breathe. And I got to say, man, the fifth season that we're in now, is, I feel it's just our strongest one yet. The shows are funnier. You know, Jim and I aren't going out and doing as many crazy things like out in the field.
Right.
But yet, the artist is getting more of a chance to shine. And you know, the longer you have with these guys and the more time that you have for the interview portions, the funnier, you know, these guys can now, you know, relax and tell some funny stories and sort of elaborate on things. They don't feel like they have to, like, spit it out really quick, you know. And so we've gotten such great stuff from people, you know, because we have the time now. So I think that's really helped. You know, I know the network has been really happy with the way the new shows and the new format look. And so far, from what I could tell from the fans, you know, they like it too.
Right. Yeah. In particular, I think the episode with Halford, you know, the new one, The Metal God Speaks, you know, that segment I thought was really, really funny and really good.
Yeah, we got to do something, you know, creative with Rob. And, you know, Rob's got a great sense of humor. So, you know, it just worked out. Yeah, we wanted to do the word of the metal god.
Yeah.
I mean, let's really face it, guys. I mean, the reason it seems like there's not a lot of time is, you know, Eddie talks a lot. You know?
He does tend to go on. That's true.
The guy tends to go on quite a bit. So
yeah.
It's, we could tone him down a little and, you know, we let the artist talk a little more, and we got a winning formula there.
Well, Don, you're the star of the show, not Eddie. So if the guy gets too heavy-handed, just, you know, put him in his place.
Right.
Let him know he's a bit player, and move him along if he doesn't shut up.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah, just break his balls more.
I mean, do you have any dirt on Eddie you want to share with us? Come on, let's hear it. There's got to be some stories on this guy. Come on.
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Oh, see, yeah, there we go. There are that many, huh?
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, well, let's see. We know he loves White Castle. That's out on the show. I don't know. The funniest thing I think about Eddie that people don't know is like he's such a like family man. He's such like a like he's married. He's got two kids, a house in the suburbs. Like if you didn't know, this guy has been like a huge part of the metal scene for the last 25 years, and you just saw him like in the grocery store, you know, with the kids dragging along and him just pushing a cart. You'd never think like this guy is, you know, somebody big in the music industry, you know, because he doesn't have the metal look. So,
right.
But he's like a real devoted, like family guy, you know, like when he comes in, like other guys do with their office jobs, like, the kids were up all night screaming. My wife's mad at me. You know, like he has the same, you know, things that everybody else has, you know. So, you know, and Florentine and I, you know, we're not tied down. So we just laugh at him.
Oh, you're a ladies man, whereas he's a kept man. We got you.
Yep.
Yeah, but he loves it. See, that's the thing. Ed's the one guy, I'll be honest, man. He's one of my few friends. Like, he doesn't complain about stuff. You know, he'll just say, hey, I'm tired today, which is the worst thing he could say to me in Florentine, because the minute we know he's tired, that's when we start ball busting.
That's when it's time to mess with him.
Yeah, we know he's vulnerable then. So.
Right.
But no, he's like, he doesn't say nasty things about his wife. Like he really loves being a family guy, but he just has the same problems that everybody else does. You know, he's got kids, it's a lot of responsibility, and you know, that's his life. You know, when he's not, when he's not doing pure metal, he's just a regular family guy.
He seems right. Like, Eddie seems like a really nice guy, man.
I'll tell you about the rub and tugs off the air.
Nice. All right.
I got another question for you, Don. This is, I was looking on your website, and I was really, something people don't know about you is, I think it's fantastic that you have an Emmy for your work on Inside the NFL, man. That's awesome.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was, you know, well, Florentine and I have been partnered up, you know, comedically for, you know, about 15 years now together, and that was something that he and I did. You know, we did sports-themed comedy sketches on Inside the NFL back in the 2005-2006 football season. We're all big sports fans, me, Jim, and Eddie, so that it does creep into the show sometimes. But yeah, we did these comedy sketches. We had no clue that we could possibly win an Emmy. We even went to the ceremony, and you know, because we're like children, we were just like goofing on people the whole ceremony.
That's
like
funny.
Manute Bol was like sitting across the aisle from us. His
perfect
solo
name to mess
with. Stretched across the aisle, and we were just laughing at his how tall and how long his legs were. And then we were actually going out to Jersey to see this band Wednesday 13, and that's what right. We cared about. We're like, let's get out of the ceremony. We'll get some free drinks. We'll go watch it, and we'll you know. We'll stare at Susie Colbert's butt, and then we'll get out of there.
Nice.
And as we're walking out, Bob Costas walks up to us, you know, who we worked with on the show, and he's like, congratulations, guys, you won an Emmy. And we're like, what?
What?
No
kidding.
Yeah, you guys won an Emmy. We're like, oh, that's great, Bob. We got to go see the show in Jersey now. And, you know, we're like in these wearing these bad suits, like from our high school graduation. You know, we don't even have, you know, we don't have suits.
No.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, we won. And I said, so the HBO called, and I said, ship it to my parents' house. They'll think I actually have something going on in my career.
They'll get a kick out of that.
Yeah. I also
they
noticed,
did. Yeah, they didn't want to give it to me.
Nice.
I also noticed the roast of Gene Simmons. You wrote for that. Did you ever get to meet Gene, or do you have any funny stories on him?
I met Gene briefly. The one of the rules at that roast was you weren't allowed to bring cameras or cell phones inside because they didn't want any pictures or recordings made. But at the end of the night, after the roast was over, you know, because you literally had to check your cell phone or your camera at the door, and they gave you a ticket. But at the end of the night, after everybody left, there was still a bunch of people downstairs in the VIP. So they came down with the rest of the phones and the cameras and stuff. So I got mine, and as soon as Gene walked in the room, boom, I saw my opportunity. I jumped, gave my friend my camera. Gene, get a quick picture, and within 3 seconds, it was all over with. He didn't even know what hit him.
I didn't really
talk to him, but, you know, Kiss is the first band I ever liked. That's,
yep.
You know, when I was nine years old, man, I, that's the band I always love. So.
We're all huge Kiss fans.
I love them too.
Oh,
yeah.
Big time.
Actually, Dave's wearing a Kiss shirt right now. And
from the first Farewell Tour.
from the first Farewell Tour that was 10 years ago.
Huge, huge Kiss fans. Actually, Don, we thought you were going to say that instead of the whole camera recording thing, that people were told you can't talk about Gene's hair. You know?
Well, he got shredded so badly that night.
He did.
And the one thing I was kind of happy about, it was like... some of my really brutal jokes were used, and I was just happy that he had no idea that I wrote those.
Right.
That's awesome.
He didn't know who to blame. Didn't Dice get up and give it to him pretty good,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, Dice was there.
I think Dice claimed that he used to sleep with Shannon Tweed or something like that.
Yeah, you know, Dice did as usual. He just walked in and he winged it, and
right.
And Gene really got a kick out of it because they did have a little fallout or something.
Right,
and,
I remember that. Yeah.
But after that, they made up. Gene was really happy that he came on. But yeah, he was saying something about Shannon Tweed coming back to his trailer and all this stuff. You know, he was being Dice.
Oh yeah, of course. Yep.
So Don, you were talking about the tour that you're opening up for Charred Walls of the Damned. What else do you got coming up? Do you have any more CDs you're working on? What does the future hold for you?
Well, Jim Florentine and I do a series of comedy CDs called Terrorizing Telemarketers, and we have five volumes of them out. But the thing I'm really super excited about is our most current CD, Volume 5. Is actually going to be released on Steve Vai's label, Favored Nation.
Oh yeah, that's right. You guys just got signed to Favored Nations. Nice, congratulations.
Yeah, so it's one, that's another one of those things. It's just like Steve Vai is a fan of mine. How is this happening? But what, it almost makes me question what kind of guy he is that he's a fan of mine.
Right.
Like what? You know what I mean? Like what is it about him that he actually likes? You know this. This childish nonsense Frank Walt
right.
that me and Jim do, but son of a gun, he loves the stuff and he's excited about putting the record out. And when we were out in LA, we went to his house and he took us to dinner, and he's just such a neat, cool guy. And I don't know, he just, you know what, he likes things that are creative and different, and I guess that's what he's seeing. So he's going to re-release our Terrorizing Telemarketers, I guess sometime in the early fall.
Oh, cool. So those will get out to, maybe like a wider audience. Yeah. I think that's great because that stuff
that's
is,
awesome.
that's some funny stuff.
And now
thank you. Yeah, I have to get you guys some copies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Please
do.
In Worcester.
That's perfect for radio airplay, absolutely. And now you got to go out and tour opening up for Steve Vai.
Yeah, really.
What a pairing that would be, absolutely. Hey, Don, I really appreciate you calling
in. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Nice.
Hey, we'll meet up with you in Worcester. Thank you very much for calling in. And I'm sure I can speak for Dave by saying thanks for really appreciating his music. I know, Dave, that you're really appreciative of Don taking the opportunity to listen to your music and then getting in touch with you saying, yeah, I like what you're doing. That's pretty cool.
I think he heard about me on Blabbermouth and he went on my MySpace and said, like, holy thrash fest. Killer stuff.
Nice.
And I really appreciated that, yeah. and Don's a really funny guy, and I love the show. So thanks for coming on.
Like I said, man, it's the perfect combination of musicianship, but yet songwriting.
Well, thank you very much. That means a lot.
It's cool. In fact, I'm going to throw it in right now that I'm my mouth's watering for a little shredding.
Nice. Awesome.
Thank you,
Don. Thanks again for calling into WSCA.
Yeah, thanks so much, Don.
Certainly appreciate your time. We'll see you down in Worcester. You're opening up for Charred Walls on their upcoming tour, and we'll see you in Worcester, Mass. Hey, stay on the line for us, okay? We're going to spin a Shredding the Envelope tune, and cool. Don, stay on the line. All right, brother.
You
thanks, Don.
All right, thanks, Don.